I think a normal understanding of this passage from Paul, where he talks about love as a fulfillment of the law, would run something like this. God made the laws as a means of controlling us. So, if you keep the laws, that will make God happy, and then God will love you, and everything will be okay. That's not at all what Paul is talking about here. Again, because we have fairly much misunderstood the meaning of the law of law in the Hebrew Bible, we can argue like that, but it's not accurate. It's not even close to being accurate. The law is never separated from the covenant. And by that I mean the agreement that was formalized when God released the Israelites from Egypt. And they made a covenant. A covenant is what? Just a Near Eastern way of talking about human relations. So I'll do something for you and you'll do something for me and we have a covenant. But with God it's somewhat different in that God doesn't need you to do anything for me. And so the covenant is what? In the case of God, an act of gratitude for the release from Israel, from Egypt. That's the meaning of the covenant, of the law, rather. It is gratitude, not the obedience, that's at stake here. So, what do we make of this business of love as a completion of the law? Well, the law is fairly incidental. They could have made all kinds of different laws, but the ones they got are good enough, I guess, for us and for our purposes. But if you are faithful to the covenant, which is an act of love, primarily, not obedience, then faithfulness to the law becomes the fulfillment, love becomes the fulfillment of the law. It's a much richer, deeper understanding of what law is than certainly I grew up with, where Sister Petrona was very happy to tell me what the law was. All of my Sister Christella, Sister Mary Virginia, and so on and so on and so on down. This grim, black line of nuns. And it's done terrible damage. The church has been rightly accused frequently of legalism. Legalism is precisely that understanding of the law, that you have the law, you obey the law, and then everything's okay. No, no, no. Obedience is not in question here. Love, as always, is in question here. So, we need, at least I need, who grew up in a seminary where the only law was to obey our holy rule, which is, of course, not all that holy. Don't talk to your neighbor, don't visit other people's rooms, you know, keep your mouth shut after lights out, blah, 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 blah. And that's what we were subjected to. And 7 years is a long time to endure that regimen, but we were utterly convinced because there were no alternative understandings that that was to be what was going on. And unfortunately, the code of canon law is now looked at as a sacred text. It's not a sacred text. Its intent, really, when it's observed, although no canon lawyer that I have run into exemplifies this, it's an attempt to articulate the path of love. How do you love? What does love mean? Because that's a tricky question. love is a tricky business. I mean, there are all kinds of counterfeit forms of law, of love. If you love me, you go to bed with me. If you love me, you loan me this money, etc., 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 etc. And so it goes. You don't prove love by that. You can't prove love at all, for that matter. It's one of those great imponderables in human life, that you can't prove that you love somebody. You know, Paul had it dead right. He said, even if I gave up my body to be burned but did not love, I'd be wasting my time. So that seemingly ultimate sacrifice can be a counterfeit form of love. But if we keep the idea of covenant, gratitude, and the God who is ultimately and absolutely generous to us, then we're facing the right direction.